Okay, that's what I was looking for, is the things that you pulled out of there. Easier to be moved than to repent. Okay, we keep talking about repentance, and we got to clarify what we mean. We're not just looking for everybody groveling, saying there's no way to go, there's no hope for me, I'm bad. There's something that goes with repenting that comes directly from being confronted by something about God. You see Him, and you see yourself. That I'm bad, there's no hope, means you're denying the gospel. You're denying the rest of His words. You are, there is no hope in you, but you show honor to Him when you continue with the rest of the picture. So please, every time you hear repent, if you're looking at Him and you're not changing, then you feel no need for fellowship with God. Get that clear. If you could sing about Him and you're just like, yeah, you're holy, you're holy, you're holy, and then nothing changes, and you remember, you don't need to tune your guitar like you do on Sunday night. You don't need to tune it. And you're out of tune. I'm out of tune. We're out of tune. We're out of tune with each other. You think you're in tune with Him? So then it's a life of repentance. It's easier to be moved than it is to repent. What did you hear? Luke. Okay, did you hear that? That was helpful. We'll use that in front, are performing a service. What'd you say? Not performing for an audience. Come back to this. I've got two questions, but I just want to collect without me messing with it first. Sandy? Whoa. All right. We need to be careful or analyze or think through or run it through the metal detector. Right, the spiritual one, what we are looking for when we, all right, we're talking about when come for corporate worship, but this is going to go out through the week too. You know, this little, you know, I can't live in a house that has candles, and you come in here and there's a candle, you're like, forget it, I'm done, right? Meaning you got to carry this mindset throughout your week, or else you come in here and it's so different from where you were in the week that you're lucky if by the end of the service you're not annoyed or bored or whatever, because it's so different. But we're talking here, careful, what are we looking for when we come for corporate worship? And is fellowship with God throughout the week guiding that? How do you determine fellowship with God? Anything else? Just general thoughts here. Before I give you two questions to guide this. That's good. Jim? Say that last, what did you say? Yeah. You know, I need to be better, Dad needs to be better, you know, Pastor Ralph, Pastor Tom, Pastor Bob, you know, Jill, the worship worker, whatever. We all can change and grow and listen. And on the other side, remember we said it's so easy then to say, to have, well, this is going to fit with the next question, that to have trophy pastors, trophy worship leaders. You know what I mean by that? My pastor's good. They're good. You know, I don't know how they do it. I mean, I came in with a headache, and my headache went away, and I actually cared about Zechariah. You know, they're good. How did they do that? You know, and it's you come in. It's just I told you that for many different reasons, didn't watch Star Wars all my life. Then I watched it, right? And you watch it with the kids, and they were bored through the ones that were made in the 70s. They're like, there's no graphics. there. And they watched the other ones. It's like, what's the deal? And you're like, guys, you wouldn't be seeing the rest of these if these other ones weren't made back then. Okay? They couldn't see the substance in it. They didn't care to. And that substance is why we weren't allowed to watch it back then. So we have to come in active if we're ever going to watch that. See? We got to wrestle with all these pieces of how we're analyzing things. That's why I said it's not just, I mean, Tony Evans was saying it, right? I was late this morning, so that means I hear more of Tony Evans' sermon on the way here, right? He said, stop looking at the fruit. Now, he didn't say the root. He said, look at the tree. He said, look at the tree. If the fruit's bad, it means it came, something's wrong with the tree. We've been talking roots. Something's wrong with the roots. So relationship with God, is what should be affected. You know, that whole thing we'll come back to on Wednesday night to just close off that engine room talk, as piles of you have been talking about squishy shapes since Wednesday night. Okay? And it's like that there's not that whole paradigm is backwards from the kingdom of God thing. As Tim brought out, there was no transcendence in there. I just bump around, it's inside of me to find, and then eventually, somehow, somewhere, I fit. Based on what? Based on who? There's no relationship with God. So I got another question coming up in a minute. But anything else? Okay, well then let me ask my questions. All right. Well, we all might say we agree the focus shouldn't be on the professional or the perfect, and we say that. Where do you think we practically undermine this? No, it's about relationship with God. It's about our hearts. It's about caring about what God wants us to think about. It's not about being professional or being perfect. Now, just to hit the other side, he talked about you don't go into a surgeon and he's just doing slop, all right? He's doing a service like Luke brought out there, all right? So there's that side of it where we're saying do it right, okay? John Piper, disgusted with churches that are marketing and leaders that are looking to just market, to grow, to be successful, writes, brothers, we are not professionals. All right, wrote that, who knows, 15, 20 years ago. Okay, just recently, I think, wrote a new article and said, all right, what we did not mean is that you did not need character and you did not need excellence. You know, this whole thing of, hey, I'm serving God, who are you to judge? All right, you just have a bad heart because you're telling me, you know, you did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. It's like, no. So we're not saying get rid of excellence or the service. But think about this, all right? Where do you think we practically undermine that? Well, it doesn't have to be perfect. Taryn. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so on the, all right, we divide this and say, you know, should, and let's say, should not, all right? I didn't think of that when I was writing the question here about the should part. Should be order, intention, goal. Right tools. So, you know, we get to the end and he says the we call them the normal means of grace. If the life is coming from God, and then in that sense they are supernaturally used. The word, prayer, and fellowship with the saints. Again, if you need a kick in the pants and want something that won't hurt your head too much, read Habits of Grace by David Mathis. Got plenty of copies over there on the side. If they're not, I haven't been through that in a while. I have them underneath there. Get you one. Habits of Grace. is talking about that. It was a helpful way to look again at the word, the prayer, and the fellowship of the saints, to be able to recast it from wherever you're at so that you go back and there's that order, okay? So we should have that. Go ahead. Which side are you going on, Jonathan? Right. Right. We're dancing around intentionally. If you follow those congregational meetings, the last 15 of them, okay? And if you did, if I was ever going to compile anything out of these last 15, it's after people pounding. Usually people don't pound through the front door. They pound through their boredom, their absence, their hearing it second, third hand, because I didn't want to tell you because it would hurt you, blah, blah. And the result of that is those congregational meetings, okay, of thinking, well, what's important? What should we be focusing on? But we're talking about everything except the actual methods because we want to set a parameter for them. Back to what Taryn said, there's got to be a framework. We have to ask these questions of where are we going to end up? What's valuable? If you don't, we get pragmatic. I grew up all my life with a church nursery. We don't have an official church nursery here. That's not really a conviction. There were negative things that went on with a church nursery. If you weren't careful, every teenage girl wanted to be down there with the babies, and then they'll talk about everything else except God. All right? How do you get women down there caring for their baby, saying, man, I'm missing the sermon. How can we listen as well and try to interact? See, hear over the noise. Okay, so in here, if we don't have a nursery, you can go down, two TVs downstairs, okay? Here we go, close my eyes, grumpy. Come in late, don't sit in that pew back there. We're trying to leave that for the next step between your kids crying here, go there. They're crying there, go on the stairwell. They're on there, go downstairs, whatever, all right? But see, there's a method. But you have to value all the other things, otherwise you sit here and become the method police, right? And you determine, say, they're not doing it. That's it. Their kid's screaming. It's enough. All right? Wait, what are we doing in here? Back to what he said, then we're trying to say, I think part of the problem is us adults are bored is we've never been taught to listen to something we're not interested in. Well, that's what you're trying to teach your kids, to listen to something that they have no concept for. It's above them. Now, as adults, you come in here and you go, if you don't say what I need to hear, if you're not, don't insult me, all right? I'm not stupid, but I have no idea what you're talking about. So therefore, I tried. It's not my fault. Whoa, close my eyes. I'm going to say we've never been trained to look outside and beyond ourselves. Jesus did that continually. Just for example, if I tell you earthly things and you don't get it, what happens if I tell you heavenly things? Or Wednesday night, when we said, to you has been granted to understand the parables, not to them, so that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not hear. And then he says, why don't you understand this parable? If it's been granted to them, well, it seems like he's big enough. He should be able to help them understand. Jesus restated it, and he doesn't. He calls them to reach for it. So back to what Jonathan said then, who in here? So practical method, we ended up in the front row, usually because of what Tim said Wednesday night. Nobody sits up here. It wasn't we have to sit in the front row. It's usually the empty seat, so we sit up here. So when a kid is crying, you'll watch. I know you watch, and you should, and that's what happens when you sit in the front. That's why nobody wants to sit in the front. I glare at my kid if they turn around. We got a bigger purpose to do. Go on. Do whatever you need to do back there. See, but if we all follow the fly on the window, good luck, preacher. Good luck. I told you sometimes, depending on the day, back at the nursing home, we did that for 18 years, as you watch one after another fall off to sleep, I thought, I ought to just stand there and say Mickey Mouse 20 times and see if anybody noticed. And then continue. See, so we're saying here that there's something bigger going on if you're geared toward that. Remember, told you, Stout for Kids, never seen a TV before, came over to our house years ago, right? You could have ran a truck or a bull in front of them, and they were glued because they'd never seen it. They didn't say, be quiet, I can't hear, get out of my way. I mean, they twisted like a pretzel, and they were going to see it because they hadn't seen it. If your heart is where it needs to be, you're focused on the main purpose, and you're saying, look, this isn't about it. Yes, there's chaos, there's sinners in here. But they are looking. Where? I've told that to my kids at BJ. Things have changed so much down there where I don't know where my kids are where they need. My kids aren't where they need to be. The other kids aren't where they need to be. But things have changed. There isn't so much of a climate of perfect spirituality among the kids. Is it the church's fault? The school's fault? Okay, it's going on all over the place. I said, look at those that are trying to head somewhere. The students, the teachers, the administration, where are they looking to head? Can you be part of helping it head that direction? All right? So what we're saying is, where do we do it? We should not expect perfect climate for effective worship and growth, right? Well, we'll just say this for space. You rephrase it. Right heart should create climate which pulls toward godly, I don't know what we're going to say, back to what Taryn said, godly order. Godly order, the main things being the main things. You rephrase that. I'm thinking on the fly here. All right, Nicole. Can you get there from there? I finally look at the youth, because I don't want this little arrogance here, like our church is the perfect one, all the others are wrong. Yeah, if you're going one direction, then by definition, other things are not the direction. On the other side, I've told the kids, you know, yes, you have to stand on your head in some places because everything else seems to be heading in the wrong direction. But you... All right, I won't say the name. You put me down in the biggest church in this town that's all over, that has campuses all over, and I'll do my best to get where I need to go for the gospel's purposes. I'll start there. You'll be fighting, you know, you'll be like all the other purposes, you know, you got to be dodging volleyballs and watching your guy kicking over their coffee that they bought in the lobby or whatever. Who knows? Whatever it is that you want to talk about, but you could be doing something else. Remember? How many times do you want to hear me say I'm overweight? Well, they watch somebody, you watch on fellowship night. I usually don't follow all the way through the food. I love the food. Probably, it's definitely more than I should and eat the wrong things, but I'm focused. I only get so much time with you. What am I going to do with you? How are we going to talk with you? How do you build it? All of you feel it. Watch out. Here he comes. Okay, for what? And what's your goal with the other people? You go, well, John, can't you just be? You know, I'm trying to, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. So maybe I'm a little over the top with the intention, because I love to just be as well. Just be. Not think, just enjoy. All right? Kids and I played Scrabble the other night. I was winning until I had to go pick up my daughter from Shady. And my youngest son went 4, 4, and 5. Man, you can get a lot of points if you use your Z on the triple word. Man. But I lost. So I like to just be as well. And so we're not saying everything has to be driven and deep. We are saying that that constant not analyzing it ends up allowing you to move towards your preferences and calling it God. Right? When we went to the Mennonite church in the area 25 years ago, I knew there was going to be trouble when two people walked up to me, two leaders, right? There were four main leaders. Two leaders walked up. One said, "You love DC talk, right? We want to be a Jesus freak." The other guy walked up to me and said, "Let me show you how many pipes we bought for the pipe organ." And he walked me in. I thought, well, I don't know. This doesn't look as big as Diane Bish down at Coral Ridge Presbyterian. But he's like, "And then we bought this, and we even got a rank of these, and this cost this much money." And I thought, my God, how are you going to bring this together here? You know, jam for the lamb and then do the pipe organ thing. How do you put that together? I thought somehow we're going to need some transcendence in here. Well, it didn't work. 2 years didn't work for many reasons. But that was a large. They didn't know who they were and where they were going. They turned around and said, "We'll give you this and you this." It became placating everybody else. It turned it around. Now we're back to our squishies on Wednesday night. Okay? Where is it? Jim. I'll try not to. My kids go, when he says all right, it means it wasn't what he was looking for. Go ahead. Say it one more time because I'm focused here. Yep. Yes, sir. Right. What is the source? I guess that's what I wrote down on my notes. How would we determine transcendence? That's what he's calling. Back at the, I have support back at the table. I have the product. I learned what you wanted, what you were looking for, what you thought you needed. I'm here trying to serve you as a company, right? But if I don't have anything that can back that back at the shop, okay, then you end up over-promising and under-delivering. Well, look. See, there's the fly on the wall. Stay here, all right? If it's a shooter, I'll say duck, all right? And that's what our ushers are here for, too. That went out of my head, too. Over-promise and under-deliver, okay? Why do you think that then again, all right, people are saying, you know, that church just isn't doing it for me. There, more than ever, people are saying, I tried this church, that church, this church, that church, this church, that church, right? Some of it's our hearts. Some of it's not having answers to these questions of what is a church? Who is God? Where are we going? All right? What does growth look like? What should we value? How do we break things down? If moralism is the result of a man-centered seeking revival, all right, moralism, and he called that paganism, okay, fine. Well, then shouldn't things be right and wrong? Because if you're going to stop and go, okay, they just did that, they said that, but no, I'm not allowed to say anything because I'll be judgmental. Okay, well, then how do you get down to the roots so that eventually it affects the fruits? Meaning if you don't want the Pharisees to be whitewashed tombs, you're going to have to let it look a little dirty on the outside while you go down. But if you're not careful, dirty becomes the new normal. Kevin DeYoung wrote, a hole in our holiness. There's a hole. It's like we keep talking about a holy God, but now we've given up every boundary, every metric by which we can determine holiness. My point is, this has got to be a process, a slow thing, and that's why I said we're going to have to be slightly annoyed with each other, because if we're not annoyed, then you're accepting everything. You might have the wrong standard. I might have the wrong standard. Like, I don't know, thou shalt not use pacifiers on Fridays. You know, whatever. Who knows? There's crazy things we've all heard somewhere, and some of them are helpful. After a while, we just get sick of them all, throw them all out, and now we're not heading anywhere. The slightly annoyed means, you know, I wish that we could, I don't know, move less during the service. See, I'm closing my eyes because I'll divide you up. Some of you are going, yes, they need to say this. Some of you are saying, are you talking to me? So my eyes are closed. No, I don't know. All right? I wish there could be less movement in a service. How would you head that direction? And you go, fine, I'm sleeping. Are you happy? I'm not moving. I'm doing the amen, Bob. Okay? All right? See, we're so cynical. And all right? If we have to be able to have, let's say, should not, where do you think we practically undermine this? By not having a final word, a living relationship with God. Right? I was telling somebody, I was just racking my head for illustrations, and I thought, remember I've told you I don't have a dog, right? But I watch everybody that takes a dog for a walk, right? And every, just like a motorcycle riders, right? When motorcycles go by each other, they kind of, whatever the sign is, they, we are the brotherhood, right? The dog walkers do the same thing, right? You all, whatever, you, whether you look somebody in the eye or not, usually a dog walker will look at the other dog walker like, I got my dog. You got your dog? My dog's not going to cause trouble today. Is your dog going to cause trouble? And you got that whole look going on, and that's right. How you doing? Has a nice day, right? And you're thinking, if your dog does it, it's your dog. Just remember that. Right? Who's got your leash? See, we're saying we're walking with God, right? If you're walking with God, does he have you? Hey, 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 easy, easy. Go ahead, come on, go. You go, don't call me a dog. Well, why don't we start by being under? In your presence is fullness of joy. Well, that's not making little of you. This is in comparison with God, not you're my dog or I'm your dog. Or no, stop. We do that. But if we are under him, we are just the sheep of his pasture, right? But the Lord is my shepherd. Well, is he your shepherd? Well, then he leads me. He leads you. Easy. He's a girl. He's a boy. Stop. All right, go here. Feed on this. He leads, all right? Was it green pastures? Prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Right? Go ahead, wolf. Look at me. You ain't going to touch me. Right? That's what fellowship with God is. The unity of the Spirit. Who's holding your leash? Go ahead, Harold. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Yes. Endure it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I'm not sure which one to put that on, because here's where the rubber meets the road. You go like, well, everybody else is getting something out of the music, but I'm not, so good for them, but I need something else. Now we're going to get back to, this is what we're talking about on Wednesday night. We need to move the continuum more towards God rather than towards me, more towards we rather than me. God more than me, and we rather than me. All right? So, but what he's saying is, yes, a minimum standard that, and that's why I've said on those congregational meetings, where everybody's like, well, I don't know, I'm not good at talking, but I'm good at, you know, snow shoveling. Yep, but we are want spiritual snow shovelers. Where does that come in? By sitting there counting and going, I did more than the other snow shovelers? You know? By saying, don't blame me for not hearing the sermon. I've been serving all these years. Did anybody else help me? No. You know, I don't know. You think through where spiritual would involve the snow shoveling. Somewhere we're looking for a minimum with that. He's right about the distraction. I've told my kids, when you finally get up there and play, no, guys, stop. If, you know, there will be no brain surgeons tomorrow if you're not willing to let somebody practice. Be careful. We're all rather help give lasagna and prayers to somebody else when they get cancer. But you have to be able to get cancer too. You can't let everybody else be practiced on. You have to have something greater. And even that of developing and saying, no, I'm not trying to, I need order and not chaos. There needs to be a minimum standard. But good luck. Good luck finding the best brain surgeon. And where is the line where somebody goes, how many of these have you done? Maybe you could say, maybe there could be two of you in there then. If, you know, I don't know. But we're coming back to trust eventually. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. So you're right. We're going to dance back and forth between distraction, but then include but not demand. Remember, I told you, my mom was more the formal music. My dad was more the folk music and soft rock or something like that. And the Norwegian music was in there, accordions, right? Some of you hate accordions. Some of you love that, okay? But he had the dominant, he had the control of the record player, all right? My mom would have stuff on, but not as much. It wasn't like he said she couldn't. It's just we grew up hearing that. When I went to Bob Jones, it was the opposite. My grandfather, my mom's father, was a bit of a goof. Wasn't as holy as he should be. Missionary kid. Loved the Lord. Whatever. My point is, I didn't expect when he came down to Bob Jones and we had to listen to the final concert that was very formal, more operatic, all right? And I said, you don't have to go to that. He went and he was in tears. I thought, this guy, I told him, he's a goof, right? He's a bunch of others. And I thought, what in the world is going on that I'm sitting here bored to tears and he's in tears? And I realized not only then, but there was a couple other things that hit me, all right? When I felt like people didn't know how to turn off the tremolo, I thought, turn it off, man. Turn it off. And I thought, well, why don't I listen past that and hear what's actually being said? And then I thought, what if she actually means what she's saying? And what if I value what she's saying? I couldn't find anything there to relate to. Yes, there's right and wrong eventually. But if you're not careful, you take your cultural experiences, backgrounds, your right and wrongs. There is right and wrong. We said that. But we're going to have to hold it up for inspection again and maybe say, well, I tried. No, you didn't use all of God's resources. Why don't you humble yourself and ask these other people who are not like you? And you go, well, I don't know. I'm not close to them. Yeah, you're not close to them because they're not like you. Maybe the issue is deeper than just the music. It's we have to love people. Even when I've thought a style is too far, is too much, I thought, well, what happens if that person got saved and that's all they knew? If we're going to change them from the inside out, it's going to be a slow change before they desire something else. What do? Glare at them the whole time? Say, change that now or you're not holy? See, there's a process here of changing our desires. And if we're not used to that in every area of our life, we're going to have a few absolutes. Okay? Anything else on this question? All right, next one. How do we protect from the danger of stimulating human affections rather than seeking the supernatural change which produces genuine affections? How do you have your emotions involved? I told you. I'm teary, I'm emotional, my dad's that way, right? We're different, but we're both on the emotional side, okay? I'm loud, all right? He's loud in a different way, so we're on the louder side, not the quieter side, but the emotional side, not. All right, some of this is personality, but guys, you got to have big buffers. Emotions are God-given. There's a reason we like the Psalms, right? There's emotion in there. All of them, the bad ones as well as the good ones, okay? All right? But how do we have emotions involved with our music and services in a way that leaves us content with God himself, not dependent on another self-centered fix? You know, they just become words after a while, but can you dance inside of that question a little bit? Harold. Go ahead. They go or they don't. Right. Okay. All right. So it stimulates emotion. So he said he didn't have an emotion, but now he has an emotion, anger, when, you know, you tell him to do a certain thing. All right. But I'm going to say in here, what is the process of change? When he said moralism is paganism, guys, if, you know, you struggle with your mouth and you say, well, it took me years to clean out. You go, praise the Lord. And you say, well, we should say that. No, I care how you cleaned up your mouth. Why? Well, do it for the right reasons. Well, there's the will from the front. Clap. I said clap. Now, the will has to be somewhere, and somewhere you're going to have to bring this down and realize, wait a minute, I'm surrounded by people that are clapping, and that's pretty arrogant to say every single one of them has their focus in the wrong place. Maybe they do. But I got to sit back and look, what will I allow somebody to push us to? So, but what includes the will, but what are we asking them to do? This is where I've said here at Cornerstone, we're looking to change people, but through your mind, not over it. Over it would be, just get on board. This is what we're doing. This is what God's doing. If you don't like it, lump it. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. All right? I've heard that again and again and again and again. But that's the squishies. The balls are over here. The cubes are over here. The little stars are over here. No. All right? Go, Tracy. Yeah, what are you thinking?
Whether it's the music or the preaching, the focus needs to be that the music is to direct us to God, not the performance, not the entertainment of it. Same way with the word of God, the preacher, not about his
oratory skills, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You are. No. Say it. You're new at this. I'm looking for what you think of when I say this, and that's what you're doing. Keep. Yeah, go.
But that the Holy Spirit then would come in us that would draw that emotion, whether it's through the song or
right.
Preaching of the word, and then us to live it out. People will then notice us. We will be
and be examined and want him I'm going to say get the glory. I don't like using that on the, we define what that means. Where are we being directed? Is the service the event? See, we've kicked ourselves in the teeth when everybody was, when we send all these surveys, what would be more meaningful for you in a worship service? Well, when you ask, it starts focusing then more on, well, I don't know, I'd do better if the kids were quiet, if the music didn't hurt my ears, all right, if I could hear the music, if the preacher, I don't know, man, nothing personal, but, you know, I don't know what he's saying, all right, or I do know what he's saying, and it's saying nothing, okay, you know, but somewhere we have to get beyond that, and all of that means being willing to examine. So if you get emotions when you clap, why am I clapping, all right? And I've had to do this. When people say, who holds you accountable? There's only a couple elders. Stay here long enough and you'll realize we're trying to train. And back to our original series here, we want officers. We want the heart of an infantryman, but the mind and actions of officers. All the members being officers. Okay? Thinking like an officer. We'll come back to that when we finish that class, when we're done with this video. Okay? I had too many rabbits, needed a gun. I lost my own thought. Got it. But when you got to be willing, all right, here, when people say, who holds you accountable? You do. For 25 years, it's, why is he always crying? Is he trying to get an emotional response out of us? You know, like, are people saying that? Yeah, they did say it. You don't hear it front, you hear it second or third hand. All right? It doesn't seem like he cares, you know. When I came in, I saw John David sitting at the keyboard, and he looked like Heil Hitler sitting up there, you know. He was emotionless. Okay, fine. Then I'll be emotionful. Do you want me to look you in? See? And you feel, where are we directed? Those things are involved, but we're going to have to look past that. We have to be willing to examine and be examined. Take apart your anger. Take apart your joy. What's underneath it? Where's it heading? You should be angry about some things, and you should be sad about some things. You should be joyful. But she's talking about life in the Spirit. And I think life in the Spirit is pretty hardy. It can get there from here. Where was it? We're almost done. Where is it? Brad?
Are we looking to get our appeal?
Yes.
Yeah. By the end of the service, is our final expectation to be, did I feel God today? Or are we trusting that regardless Worth. Of my feelings, regardless of what I may or may not have gotten out of it, are we expecting
Yeah.
Our emotional response, while that is a good thing, God
right,
gave
right,
us
right, right.
For a reason, but obviously that's not to be the
right, right, right. If we are to think eternal, all right. You know, I'm in pastors, you know, that fellowship, Facebook fellowship. You listen to them talk back and forth. Like, I bombed a sermon. I had a good one. And you hear them all go back and forth and think, the ones you think you bombed, God uses. The one you think you were amazing, you're probably full of yourself, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you were just amazing, okay? But if you're focused just there, eternal perspective, remember? Do not rejoice. We saw heaven, Satan falling like lightning. Don't rejoice in this. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. So whether there's something good or bad, you go, well, come on. If I do what you're saying, I can't think. I'm going to analyze everything I do. I can't just stand and sing. Well, I have to try. As a leader, that's hard. I know if I lift my hands, everybody's going to notice. If I don't lift my hands, everybody's going to notice. I thought, I need something transcendent. And I thought, you know what? I'm in process. And I want to respond to God now with this. And I want to hear some. I love when you guys, we have been trained as a congregation to pay attention during the offertory. We're getting there. I hear the words being mumbled. I'm not looking for external stuff. But people are trying to interact. It's not just an interlude. They're trying to interact. That quiet time at the end is trying to say, hey, look, as soon as we say amen, you're going to, and I ask you, what did you hear in the sermon? You're going to go, I don't remember. If 2 minutes of talking can knock it all out, just sit there and seal it and say, Lord, please help that to be thought of this week. I want to worship you with my life. I want to worship. What did he say? Head, heart, hands. Lord, would you help us as we contemplate these things? We could go on. There's Pandora's box as we open these things. We're already in process. And would you continue, Father, to build what's healthy? Would you continue to help open up and examine pieces that maybe we didn't even think need to be examined? But then, Lord, would you help us to be free to live? Not in a restrictive way, but to let you hold the leash and let's go for a walk. Let's live. Let's worship. Let's serve. Let's acknowledge your right to determine what needs to change in our life. To be thankful that what you produce in a life is real and is eternal and brings glory to you. And you said you can and will do that for those who are yours. Thank you, Father, for all you've given us in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.